Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. If you'd please stand for the reading. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have been called the master of the house, Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. I do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. You may be seated. So, the scripture reading that we just went over is a powerful one. And it tells us a lot. And it could be a little bit scary. And I had a sermon all prepared, but then God stepped in. And, you know, I had been working on a couple of things, and I'm sure a few of you have seen before or may recall when I walked in the down the hall in a fedora and a jacket and a whip on my side is Indiana Jones. So you've seen me carry leather around. You see me wear a leather jacket before. So that's not so shocking that you look up here at this table and you see a bunch of leather. But probably one of the things that you didn't know was that I'm a leather worker. I do it as a hobby. So it's something I enjoy and I got into. We do tons of different things, mostly Renaissance era corsets and paraphernalia like the pouches and purses and the belts and the straps and all that kind of stuff. But it all started somewhere, years and years and years ago. And it started with Indiana Jones, because I absolutely loved Indiana Jones. I mean, this guy with a simple cloth hat and a whip and a small little pistol could just about handle anything. So he was an idol of mine. And man, I really wanted to have that whip. But you know, the stuff that you find in the toy stores and all that is rather lacking. It doesn't have the same crack. It doesn't have the same feel. And it's not leather. The whip's supposed to be leather. So I decided one day that I was going to make one. And I started and I had 4 strips of leather. I'm like, how do I make this into this? I couldn't get it on my own. So eventually, you know, at that point, I was kind of like, well, this may have to wait a little bit longer than what I wanted. Maybe something will come up and help me out. Well, then someone started talking about, oh, there's some books out there that might help you. So I went and I said, okay, I'll look into them. And I picked up a book. It's called Whips and Whip Making. Now, this book was awesome. Okay? There's pictures in here, and they talk about all kinds of different whips, what they're used for, the whips that you would use on horses, the whips that you would use on cattle, whips that you would use on elephants. You know, skin really makes a difference in the type of whip that you use. The materials that you would use to make a whip, like Australian leather and certain, like kangaroo leather, is best for whips because of its strength and its flexibility. They even talked about the parts of the whip. There's a handle. There's an outer covering. There's a core that's inside, which gives the whip most of its strength. But you know what? When I got through reading the book, I knew a lot more about whips, but I still didn't know how to make one. There was nothing in the book that went through and told me how to do it. So great, I expanded my knowledge a little bit. Just about enough that at the point I was like, oh man, I really, really want to do this. So I need something more. So I started talking to people. I went to the leather shop, started talking to them about, hey, do you know anything about braiding whips or whatever? And every once in a while you find someone that would be like, yeah, I know how to braid, but I don't know how to take it to the whip stage. I could show you how to braid, though. You talk to, you know, people that are in that field that seem to know what's going on. They can give you pointers, and they're like, yeah, you definitely want to use this particular material, but beyond that, I can't tell you much, and so forth. And you're still at that point where you're like, man, I really want to make this. And this is really starting to perturb me because I still don't know how. And then someone told me one of the best things in the world was that there's actually a Bible on braiding. And literally, there's a Bible on braiding. This book goes through everything step by step, gives you pictures, shows you how the knots are supposed to look for just about any types of braids. You know, and as I started reading, you know, I already had an idea that there were tons of different whips. But braids, oh my God, there's round braids, flat braids, there's 4-strand braids, there's 8-strand, there's 6, there's 12. Depending on what you want to do and the design pattern, this is what you have to do. And I mean, there's just like tons of different styles. There's even step-by-step instructions in here on how to make a bullwhip. Yay! I was so happy. I had something to tell me exactly what I was doing. And it gave me all of the pointers. It said, step one, do this. Next, do this. It showed me pictures. Kind of gave me a good idea of what I was doing. But, you know, somewhere along the line, probably about when I was transitioning between the wood handle down into the leather shaft with the cores, I was kind of like, wow, I really don't quite understand what that picture said. I'm confused. It didn't make any sense to me. Or maybe the way that the author worded something in the text, it just made me kind of like, wow, that could mean that it goes this way or that way. Or I can't see the backside of that picture, so I don't know what happens to the braid when it comes around. So, you know, through that, I started learning that, you know, for a 4-strand braid, it's real simple. You just take your outside loop,
You bring it around in between the last two. You flip it around back into the middle, and then you start the pattern over again from the other side. And you keep going, and you end up making a braid. The book was able to tell me a lot about how to do that. Every once in a while, I'd run into a snag, like, you know, something didn't look like right. Like, if you notice, most of this leather has a shiny side and a hair side. Well, when you're doing a round braid, all of the shiny leather should be on the outside. So the one thing that seemed obvious from the pictures and the instructions, but I didn't catch on to, was that when you actually went around the braid, you had to flip around the backside and then come to the front. You couldn't just take this and slide it over like this. Otherwise, everything would be all wonky. You had to wrap it around. And, you know, we got to being able to braid and so forth. But at a certain point, it was kind of like, it's not all quite exactly the way I envisioned it. You know, I could make this nice long braid and all that, but, you know, great. It's not coming out like this. So, the next step that we had to take, we could have done a couple of things. We could have just said, okay, I give up. This is as good as I'm going to get. And leave it at that. But I had to find someone to study with. I actually had to find a master that would give me his time and let me work with him and train with him, someone that knew what they were doing. To sit there and say, oh, hey, you know, when you set that braid down to walk away for a little bit and then you come back to it, how do you tell where to start? Oh, well, that's simple. The master says, hey, when you look at the braid, there's always one that's up higher than the rest. That's your start braid. And you know what? I've never had a problem now setting a braid down and coming back to it. Because before, when I would do it, I'd set it down and be like, I hope I remember. And then I look and I'd be like, oh, I got to start all over from the beginning again. Because I couldn't figure out where I was. And the master also told me things like, well, when you come around in your braiding, every once in a while you want to take and tighten everything up. Because if you wait until the end to do it, it's just not going to work as well. It's going to be real loose and not look right and not as strong. But, you know, the thing is I actually had to spend time with the master. It just wasn't going to do to spend 2 hours here or there whenever it was convenient for me. It had to be on his schedule. It had to be on his time. He wanted me to work with him for 4 to 8 hours on Saturdays. I couldn't just on Saturday decide, oh, I'm going on a trip. I'm going on a day trip down to Maryland or whatever. Couldn't do that. I couldn't tell him, you know, I was too busy cutting the grass or I needed to sleep. Because the master wanted me to spend time with him so that I could learn. And you know what? When you put the effort and the dedication into doing that and building that relationship with the master, you do learn. And you learn all the neat little tricks and all the things that make things easier and so forth. And in the end, you end up with a long string of this. Now, altogether, those four strands are way a lot stronger than if I had just pulled one of these off and started stretching. Eventually, this is going to snap. This would probably take a car to snap. You make something beautiful out of it. And the training continued, and he showed how this actually became the inner core for this outer covering that you see. And when we got to that, He showed me more. He showed me the different braid that it takes to do this and put it all together. And in the end, working with the master continuously, you know, he would not let me take this out of the shop as we were going. Because what would happen is if I took it home as I was braiding this, chances are I was going to mess it up. Chances are I'd get something wrong or teach myself a bad habit, and it would not end up right on the end. So it had to stay in the shop until we were finished. Until he showed me everything and was confident enough to say, okay, now you can go do this on your own, but I'm always here if you need help or if you need guidance or if something's not quite going so right. And, you know, that's the thing. When the other day I had been sitting on my floor braiding a rope for a client, I had already had a sermon prepared for today. And it's not the one that you're hearing now. Because God started talking to me about what he wanted to say. And I started listening. But you know, when I started into this, he made me realize that my travel through leatherworking and learning different things is the exact same thing that we're all going through in our walk with God. You know, we come in to it through one means or another. Mostly, our parents said, you're going to Sunday school. We got the basics of information. Maybe someone invited us. Maybe someone came up and said, hey, I want you to come to church with me. We gave them the basics. So they got in at this level. They got some of the information, but not enough to go on. They needed more. So then what do? They start talking with people around the pastor, any of the lay leaders or, you know, staff. They may have an affinity for the choir director or, you know, someone else in the congregation that they trust and that they believe knows what's going on. But even at that level, there's only so far that can go because they're not the authority on it. And you can only go as far as their knowledge and level goes. You know, I'm not an authority. You could talk to me all you want, and we'll go over what I know so far. But there's so much more that somewhere along the line, I'm going to have to pass you off on to someone else and say, listen, no, you really need to talk to so-and-so about this. Best thing to do, though, then, is to get your Bible. Because the Bible has every step-by-step instruction in there. It tells you, it gives you all of the pictures that you need. It tells you everything that you need to know. But you know what? We're human. So I guarantee you that there are passages that when Pastor Bruce looks at him and goes, huh? What? I do. I'm sure Brian does at times. I'm sure all of us do. I mean, there are a lot of confusing scriptures in there. Or maybe if it didn't, like, totally confound us, it was something that was left to interpretation where, well, it could mean this, but it could also mean this, and they're two different things. I mean, how many times have you, say, done a circuit, visited different churches or something in one morning, and everyone's preaching on the same scripture, but everyone had a different message? Or how many times would it happen between two services? The message is different. So everything's open to interpretation. The only way to clear things up or to get a better understanding of that would be for you to have that relationship with the master. Well, come on, who's the master? God. God's the master. You got to have that relationship with him. You know, if you don't have that relationship with him, this really isn't worth much. all of the teachers here aren't really worth much. Pastors aren't worth much. You got to have that relationship. Now, I don't mean to scare anyone. I'm not trying to say that if you aren't there at that point, that you don't matter or that you got a lot of work to do. Because we're all on different walks or parts of our walk with God. Some of us are just getting in. Some of us have been here forever. Sometimes we get hung up on stages. Sometimes we get to that beginning stage and we think, oh, we got enough information. We don't need to do much else. So we're just going to hang out on this level. And that could happen at any one of those levels. The only level that it should happen at is at the master level, where it's like, okay, this is where I need to be and hang out. But as long as we're making steps forward and towards that goal of having that relationship with the master, then we start to learn some interesting things. One, we started out on the project of wanting to make a whip. And, you know, after all that time, we finally made a whip. I think it's a pretty good whip, but that's, you know, I'm kind of partial to that. No, we don't go swinging whips like this around in church. Believe it or not, this would be a very dangerous thing to a human being because it's made for cattle and livestock who have thicker skin. So no, we won't go swinging that around. I know you were worried about that. We accomplished the goal. But you know what? Then God comes out and he says, hey, you know what? Got something else for you. You know, one of those things happened one day. I was puzzling over what in the world I was going to get Rory for a Valentine's Day present. And I was talking to some people about it. You know, one of those masters or instructors, hey, why don't you think about this? I'm like, I have no idea how to do that. Never even crossed my mind. But you know what? That's the way that God works. Because he's going to take where he took you to, where that goal was, and say, okay, hey, let's go this way. Or let's step this way a little bit. You know, and in the end, what we ended up with was leather flowers. Now, who would have thought of making flowers out of leather? But the master told me, hey, it can be done. I'll show you some of the techniques, and we'll go forward. And, you know, that's all great. I wanted to learn how to braid a whip, which is, could be pretty simple in the long run. But then he started teaching me other things. He's like, you know what? Try this. That's a piece of leather. Everything is carved on it, out of the leather. And projects like this that are unfinished at the moment and on their way, but teaching you things that you never thought were possible or that you thought you could do. And it was only possible because I was with the master. And, you know, that's the way it is with God. These things, so much more than what you can ever dream or imagine, is possible. But only when you're walking with God, the master. Because the master is going to make sense out of that Bible and those step-by-step instructions. And he's going to show you how to accomplish them and how to get through them. And he's just going to increase everything that you put into it. So my effort was I wanted to learn how to braid a whip. And now I'm out there making Renaissance leather corsets, armor, boots, stuff like that, belts, things that I never even would have thought of, all because of the master. So when you leave here today, I want all of you to think about that. that no matter where it is that you are on your walk of life, in your walk with Christ, make sure that you're keeping those steps going in the direction of God, and that you're striving to spend as much time and effort with the Master, because things are just going to explode for you when you do. But he has to be first. He has to be first. Remember in the example that if I, any one of those points, I had told the Master that, hey, there was something else more important. In real life, the Master would have been like, okay, fine, you don't want to spend time with me. I got other things that I could be doing. And that would have been the end of my raiding experience. But you got to spend the time. You got to make the effort. Just do it. Whether it's reading, praying, talking with people, keep those steps going in that direction. Make the effort. Effort. And God will grab hold of you and start pulling you closer and closer. Thanks be to God.